Blog Talk Radio.
I hope you're having a good day. I'm actually recovering from Cinco de Mayo, so that was actually a good moment for me. But you're now rocking with your man, Lyricist. We're going to have a great show. The main topic of the day is going to be, what is your definition of success? Now, we touched on it a couple episodes ago, and I really want to go in depth on it because, you know, especially for artists that's really trying to, you know, figure out where they should take their career and, you know, what's the goal in their career and, you know, being able to understand how success works. But before we dive into that, I want to talk about some of these subjects that, you know, we haven't been touching on much, but it's needed, you know, just to understand what's happening in the world around us besides, $500 shoes is being sold by an unproven basketball player. Let's talk about, you know, what's happening with this healthcare bill. And all the changes that's going to happen and how is it going to affect everybody. You know, Trump went on a record saying to, I want to say the Australian prime minister, that their health care was better than our health care. And he has to understand that their health care and Canada's health care is a universal health care. And that was the direction that Obamacare was going to take the country. A lot of people don't understand what Obamacare was really about and how it, what it takes to get to universal health care, so where everyone is covered no matter what. When you go through those steps, the first go around is going to be a very, very bumpy ride because it's going to send everybody premiums and, you know, their deductibles through the roof just for it to come back down. The problem is, it's the waiting game. When you're living in that moment and you don't know when it's going to come back down as far as your premiums and everything else, then you become impatient because you see yourself spending more money and getting less. No one likes to spend more money and get less. Now, with this new healthcare that Trump is proposing, it's going to bring down the premiums and, you know, your deductibles and everything else that he's promising. But it takes us 100 steps further away from the same health care that's being provided in countries like Canada and Australia. I don't know who he has on his team because he happens to be firing all the wrong people. You know, before you go firing, you know, the usher of the White House, you probably want to fire your press secretary because this is the guy that's supposed to make you look good. He's supposed to sell your decisions to the people of the country that you're managing. You even rent, I'm not going to make it personal, but he even went on record to say that he thought the job of being a president was going to be much easier. Dude, you have to run your country and be a leader in the free world. There's no way in hell a job like that can be easy because you're monitoring and you're maintaining livelihoods. You're literally policing the world, especially when you're a powerful country like us. So I'm not sure if his team is really, really bringing him up to speed with how shit really works. But this guy is really, really confused about what to do next. Now, I made a statement a long time ago saying that this country was going to end up being ran by Mike Pence. It looks like Mike Pence is just as confused as Donald Trump. He's ready to push the button for nuclear war in any second. On any second. There's a lot of stuff that they had to get under wraps because their first 100 days has been rough. They had a lot more failures than successes. So, I want to see what's going to happen with this new Trump care. We got to wait it out, just like we got to wait out his presidency. We don't know what to expect. You know, it's going to lead to a lot of massive cuts and everything else throughout the entire country. It's going to affect a lot of people negatively. So I'm waiting to see the positives. We need to start worrying about why Russia keeps sending their fighters over on the U.S. coast. Why, and what's our response to that? There's only so much you can posture and wolf until somebody responds. And I'm actually wondering, when is he going to sit down and have a conversation with this man or actually respond to Putin? Because right now we're being challenged. You can go on and ignore it if you don't see anything coming from it, but you also got to let them know, hey, stay off of my coast. Don't send your fighter jets over here once a day. I mean, they're constantly being intercepted by U.S. fighter jets. This is something that we gotta confront it. We got to confront it. This needs to be confronted more than the problem with North Korea. Sanctions, tightening up sanctions on North Korea is going to cause a lot of damage, especially if China gets behind those sanctions. So instead of force feeding us the shit that you want people to just read on the news, you got to talk about that stuff. That's what the press secretary is for. I'm thinking the wrong people are losing their job at the White House. No, and that's just a matter of opinion. You know, what the hell do I know? I just host a radio show. You know. Let's move to the next topic here. So the judge has decided to release Aaron Hernandez's suicide letters to the people that he left them for. You know, but let's highlight the one that he left for his wife, where he said that, you know, after he dies, she's going to be rich. Now, to explain that in depth and not to go too far on that, because I'm not with suicide. I think suicide is a weak decision. And I don't care who you are. I don't care how many, you know, foundations and clubs and everything else, you know, makes excuses for why people, commit suicide. I think it's a weak decision. So let's look at this, what he said, to his wife or, girlfriend, whatever. You know, he told her that after he died that she was going to be rich. So what he means by that is the New England Patriots still owes him $6 million of his contract. Or multiple millions of dollars on his contract. So he knew if he died an innocent man that the Patriots wouldn't be able to stick by why his contract was terminated because he was an innocent man, which means he was unlawfully, terminated, or his contract was terminated on a precedent that was unproven. So, by him dying in the, as an innocent man under the Massachusetts law, if you're an innocent man, you're an innocent man. Everything has to be vacated against you. Charges, everything else. So, he knew once that happened, once he died, that the New England Patriots would have to pay the millions that was due to him, they would have to pay it to his estate. And the person that was appointed over his estate is his wife. So that would be money that would be left to his family. You know, he told her to take care of his daughter and a few of his friends and everything else, you know, and that she would be rich. And he also explained to her how much he loved her, too. So this explains why he decided to commit suicide. You know, so he can make sure his family, his wife, his daughter, and whoever else he appointed in that letter, because he didn't have a will, but she was a beneficiary over his estate. So it's going to automatically go to her, undisputed. Now, they're going to try to fight, but it may not last long. So that's going to be given to her. I think it sucks all the way around that you have to make a decision like that. But, you know, I think that in his mind, he felt like that was a decision that needed to be made so he can make sure his family is set while he's not here. Because what good is it for him to sit in prison, lose all that money, can't take care of his family, they go back to normal living, and they're suffering? That's probably what his mindset was. So I'm hoping that his wife take those funds, once she gets it, take care of the family, take care of his daughter. He has a beautiful little girl, man. I couldn't imagine doing that to my daughter. Now, I have a 7-year-old. I love every moment with my child. And I know she loves every moment with me. I couldn't imagine doing that, you know, because above all, she just wants her father. She doesn't know what money is about. So it's kind of crazy, you know, but I guess it is what it is in the situation. All right, on to lighter notes. So after LeBron and the Cavaliers won game 3 in Toronto, him and Drake crossed paths. So I guess he invited Drake out. Kind of, it was a brilliant snub. LeBron is becoming more and more of a character the older he gets and the more time he spends in the league. He's breaking all types of records right now. I'm not a LeBron fan. Never will be. But I got to respect his hunger now. It's starting to come there. I've challenged if he was a killer. I've challenged if he can close out games and be a good player and be better than Jordan and be better than Kobe. You know, I challenged if he can be that guy. And he's starting to step up to the plate now. I guess better late than never, huh? You know, so with him and Drake cross paths, we all know how Drake feels about his Toronto Raptors and Toronto in general. You know, he's like, hey, you know, looks like margaritas on me. You know, yesterday was Cinco de Mayo, so they're going to go out and, you know, have fun. But it was a hell of a jab, funny, clever jab that, you know, I can't hate it. Rub it in his face. Make him enjoy those margaritas with you on Cinco de Mayo after you just got to finish kicking his team's ass. Because they're going to get swept. If they don't get swept, I would be surprised. But it looks like LeBron is on a mission. He wants to get to the finals, and he's going to get there by any means necessary. I don't know who he's going to face in the next round, whether it's Boston or Washington. It looks like Washington is starting to wear down. So I'm hoping they come up with an answer because, you know, it's looking like the better team to face the Cleveland Cavaliers is going to be the Boston Celtics. And, man, let's take a moment to shout out Isaiah Thomas, man. Isaiah Thomas is doing some great things in the playoffs, too. In spite of what's happening with his personal life, you know, losing his sister, you know, having his teeth knocked out of his mouth, this guy is still playing. Broken heart, injuries, and all. I mean, this guy has to get the ultimate level of respect from me. And anybody else that respects the NBA, respect this guy, man. This guy's doing what he should be doing. He's getting out there and he's playing every fucking game. No excuses. But we're going to dive back more into these topics and we're going to make our way to our main topic, which is what is your definition of success? But let's get into a track by your man Lyricist featuring 16 called Hard Shit. Here we go.
Give it to them raw, nigga, fucking filter. I give them what they need, lyrics and rhyme killers. I'm about to raise the bar, man, you can't top it. Man, I'm from the star, cause we spittin' that hard shit. I give it to them raw, nigga, fucking filter. I give them what they need, lyrics and rhyme killers. I'm about to raise the bar, man, you can't top it. Man, I'm from the star, because we spittin' that hard shit.
My last paycheck was only 180. I told my girl when I got it, she paused for a brief moment and had a damn baby. And child support is up my ass, man, this shit is crazy. Maybe if I jump off a building, Superman will save me. My life ain't what they be thinking, I wish it was, though. My struggle's so real, I smoke and barely catch a buzz, yo. The rug rats and thug hats and rainbow braids can get paid and get played all on the radio. Whack rappers' families be mourning like Alonzo. My bars is sharper than swords forged by Hattori Hanzo. But none of that matters when fag rappers can get what they want at the snap of a finger like they the Fonzo. From thug life to young thug, it's been changed up. Headliners is in feminine fashions. Now that's some strange stuff. It's the icon, I never miss a target. My dead shot flow, me and Lyricist with that hard shit.
I give it damn raw, nigga fucking filter. I give them what they need, lyrics and rhyme killers. I'm about to raise the bar, man, you can't top it. Man, I'm from the star, cause we spittin' that hard shit. I give it to them raw, nigga fuck the filter. I give them what they need, lyrics and rhyme killers. I'm about to raise the bar, man, you can't top it. Man, I'm from the star, because we spittin' that hard shit. They hear the name and they think conscious. Never judge a book by its cover, fucker, only by its contents. Let's have a moment of silence for this beat, and I'm listening to 16 and me. Now watch his feet, come on. No more warnings, exterminating these vermin's on sight. Murder whoever behind the pen, I ghost right. It's not a boast, but I perfected the art of the dope rhyme. Kill ciphers and smoke lines, you ain't a threat to me. Most of you niggas pop pills and snort lines. All of you new niggas got little minds and big mics. It's not a compliment, you walking past the shit. You think you competition, you're missing the gift in your bars light. You catching by in this bar fight, they go from threats to sub-tweeting, man, what a hard life. Throw bait, nigga, I will bite. You better measure your blessings, nigga, and think twice. I give it to them raw, nigga, fucking filter. I give them what they need, lyrics and rhyme killers. I'm about to raise the bar, man, you can't top it. Man, I'm from the star, cause we spittin' that hard shit. I give it to them raw, nigga, fucking filter. I give them what they need, lyrics and rhyme killers. I'm about to raise the bar, man, you can't top it. Man, I'm far from soft, because we spittin' that hard shit.
All right, y'all, welcome back to Sirs Radio. You are on air with your man Lyricist. That y'all, you just got through listening to Hard Shit by your man Lyricist featuring 16 the Icon. You know, dope track. It's gonna be on my new LP. I haven't, you know, put the date out there yet, I'm still working on it. Been super busy with these business ventures, but I'm getting ready to slow down and get back to what I love to do, and that's music. And you know, and a shout out to 16 the Icon. Man, we're gonna definitely get him back on the show, and you know, we'll be chatting about what's happening with you know, some of his projects and you know everything else. But yeah, man, I'm back in the studio. It's official. So I've already finished one project, and I know I shouldn't be dragging my feet on it, but you know, I'm gonna put that out soon too. You know, I've just been recording, you know, mastering, you know, my craft, you know, getting better at what I do. You know, yeah, new music, new shows, everything else is coming up soon. So I'll talk about that more later. But let's hop back into these topics. All right. I want to talk about the whole LeVar Ball and, you know, the $500 shoe. They even got a $1,000 pair of shoes and $250 like sandals. Okay, look, I know what I said was kind of harsh the last episode about, you know, Lonzo Ball not being a proven player, okay? I still stand by that, okay? He is not a proven player. So the expectation for people to pay thousands of dollars and hundreds of dollars, your shoes is worth more than the biggest names in the NBA right now, and that's LeBron James. It looks like a knockoff of Kobe's old shoes. You're telling me to pay $500 for, you know, Kobe knockoffs. And then you're telling me to pay $1,000 for a Kobe knockoffs in a clear box. And then you're telling me to pay $250 for a pair of fucking sandals. That's my beef. This is an unproven player. Had it been Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, I'd say, okay, whatever, cool. Even Steph Curry, I'm like, cool. But this is somebody that has not been signed to a professional team yet. He hasn't even scored his first NBA point yet. And you're looking to get this type of money. It's kind of hard to stand behind that. But being, I'm an African American, obvious, you know, and we should get behind African American business owners. I had to kind of scale back and say, all right, maybe we should invest in this. Because where it is, we're willing to pay those thousands or hundreds of dollars for the Gucci's and the Armani's and all that other stuff. We should get behind a black brand too. Sorry, I don't like saying the whole black shit, because black is a color and that doesn't really represent people, nor does white. Okay, so I'm not gonna hop into that now, but I'll give you my mind so on that more. Maybe my next episode. But we should get behind an African American business. We should get behind African-American businessmen. So in regards to that, I respect what LeVar Ball is doing. Even though he's kind of out there, God does rub me the wrong way with his attitude, but he has a level of pride in his children that, you know, you have to respect that. I don't really feel like he's trying to cash in on his kid. I think he's trying to make every opportunity to make sure his kids are successful. And I have no problem with that. Well, I'm just saying that, you know, from the standpoint as to where it is, he's unproven. College is one thing. He wasn't even the best player in college. You got to let him make it to the league first and then try to push or pedal off that type of brand. But I'm saying this to everybody. You know, support this African-American business. Get behind it. You may not personally buy the stuff, but, you know, let's find a way to get behind it. Maybe sooner or later they'll create a pair of shoes or, you know, gear that, you know, people want to pay that type of money for. But I say this, get behind it. The same way you got behind Kanye West, get behind this. It's African-American owned. Do it. You know, it's hard for me to say that, but I have to stick to my guns when it comes to this stuff, is that we got to support each other, because if we're willing to spend that type of money on True Religions, Gucci's, and all that other shit, we should get behind this the same way. And that's all I got to say about it. So, all right, let's hop into the topic at hand, and is what is your definition of success? I told you last episode, everybody's definition of success is not the same. Where you see yourself 10 years down the line, 5 years down the line, that depends on you. Here's what my definition of success is. I've been a hip-hop artist half of my life. Okay, I dedicated myself to music on every level. I can produce, I can write, shit, I can even DJ. Because my passion has driven my ability to want to be the best at what I do to such a height that it's all I know. Over these last past few years, I've been pushing myself in a different direction because I also have to think long term too. When I'm older and I can't do this rap stuff no more, where do I want to be? You know, so I start setting up for it now. I'm 30. I'll be 31 this year. I own my own businesses. I've invested in my own businesses. I own my own record label. I own my own publishing company. I own my own barbershop. You know, I own my own marketing firm. And I stay building on that every day. I work hard at what I do. And I'm proud of what I do. I don't have to go and ask for somebody else to help promote me or the artist that's affiliated with Sir J Music Group. I don't have to ask someone to make a beat for me. If I do it, it's because I want to do business with you. It's not because I need you. To me, that is success. Being able to control your own destiny should be success in your eyes. If you're out here doing your shows, making your money, selling your music on your website, be proud of what you do. Because that is something that you were able to control. You're not letting people dictate what you do. In the industry right now that we live in, that's driven by technology, we don't need record labels. Record labels need us. They need the talent. And when they stop getting the talent because everybody's going indie now, they have to go sign the little Uzis and the Yachty's. Now, I will say this. I respect Yachty's business mind when he become a little bit older and he see that success is not behind a label. It's behind his drive and behind his spirit. That guy is going to be very, very successful outside of the music industry. He's 19 years old. He's still got a lot to learn. So Joe Buttons, man, take it easy on the kid. He don't get it yet. He don't get it. He will get it, but he don't get it yet. Don't let someone else's level of success define your level of success. Don't let where Drake and Kendrick Lamar and Big Sean and J. Cole, don't let their success define yours. You're not meant to be them. You're meant to be you. You're meant to do what you do. You got to remember this statement. What they eat don't make you shit, and what they drink don't make you piss. How they work don't put money in your pocket. You better find your own way. You better define your own career. Stick to your path. Reap the rewards. Respect yourself. Respect your mind. Be happy about what you bring to the table because somebody's going to want to invest in you. Embrace your vision. Embrace your dream. And dominate. You define your success. If you're booking your own shows, your own tours, and selling your own music, you're halfway to success because you control your destiny. Remember that. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Surge Radio. I know these last episodes has been sporadic, but, you know, we back at it. We playing catch up right now. Got another episode tomorrow at noon, so y'all make sure y'all tune in. Until the next episode, I'm signing off. Surge Radio, Lyricist.